Hello and welcome to the December edition of the Enjoy Portishead podcast. I am here at the freshly opened Coffee Lab on the High Street with my co-presenters Tracy Fry and Tracy Fowler. And beholden on the table is the December edition of Enjoy Portishead magazine. May I say, Tracy Fry, how festive it looks?
Thank you very much. I do pride myself on being able to find images that represent our lovely community and this time of year. And I think this month's cover is very festive. It's very warm, and hopefully it'll invite you to pick it up when you see it.
Very good. December, of course, is a month full of festive cheer and joy. It all began a few nights ago for us as we're recording this with the big Portishead Christmas lights switch on. And once again, Tracy Fowler, the volunteers did an incredible job, didn't they?
They absolutely did. I don't think anyone has any idea of the work that goes on for the Christmas lights. I know they can see the volunteers doing an awful lot in December and taking them down in January, but actually those volunteers work all year round. So an awful lot of work and effort goes into it. We're very lucky.
Really ran smoothly on the night. Even the weather was with us. It was desperately cold, but it stayed dry. So if you came down to support the Christmas light switch on, thank you so much for doing so. If you are wandering around Portishead and you wish to donate to the Christmas lights appeal, there are QR codes on all of the light poles that you just need to scan with your phone and give what you can. You can also do it via their website as well. And thank you very much for having me hosting once again. It was a pleasure to be back. I missed last year because I was in Qatar DJing at the World Cup. Ooh, drop that clanger.
Does he ever stop name dropping?
But yeah, nice to be back this year. Of course, this year was the 49th switch on, which means next year is the big 50. And we've just been sat here thinking about that and how we might be able to celebrate that. 50 years of the Christmas light switch on. Fantastic memories for everybody from Portishead, Tracy.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'm nearly as old as me.
Stop it. The light switch on began in the sort of 1980s, and you did an interview with one of the original organisers, Tracy. What do you remember from that?
Oh, you've put me on the spot now, haven't you? I remember that it started in the White Lion car park, having a Victorian evening to raise money for lights when the council could no longer fund them. And I know the council continues to contribute, but the council can't any longer put them up. So at one point, it was the job of the council to put them up. But when that stopped, I think the people of Portishead decided they couldn't lose their lovely Christmas lights. And so a group of volunteers got together to organise it themselves.
We will, of course, keep you posted with all of the developments for the big 50th celebration. Let's talk a little bit about developments on the High Street. Here we are in Coffee Lab. I think it was just opening, wasn't it, the last time that we spoke. I've been here with the dogs, Brooklyn and Bradley. They were not particularly well behaved, but no one seemed to care.
Well, that's the whole lovely thing about this place, isn't it? I'm looking around now and there are little dogs everywhere and little beds made up, and everybody seems to be very well behaved today. It's the first time I've noticed the doggy biscuits on the counter, though, and I've got to say they look quite tempting.
Right. Okay. Easily pleased. Tracy Fry. It's incredible. I mean, the space is incredible. You go back to thinking about McColl. So down the far end where the post office used to be is, you know, now an incredible seating area. Through the shop, you know, many a packet of knickknacks or a bounty bar I bought from the shelves that used to sit in the middle of this fantastic cafe. And then sort of out the back bit. Do you remember that was where all the booze was in McColl's?
The cheap booze was in the back corner there.
That was you know, where you'd find it. And we're sat sort of essentially where the counter was. So they've done an incredible job with the place. It looks absolutely fantastic, doesn't it?
Yeah, you wouldn't know it was the same place, would you? Could I also say, make it clear, we don't have any alcohol today. As soon as everyone's always pointing out that we're usually drinking alcohol when we do this. You know, it's lovely. And yeah, you're right, those dog biscuits, they have lots of different flavours, you know. Did you see?
And a whole range of food and incredible cakes. And there's a little bit of a Welsh influence as well, because I think somewhere in the mix, I believe, there's a Welsh contingent to Coffee Lab. And they've got Welsh cakes up there as well.
Do you know, I can't really say much about that because I don't eat things like that.
Oh, you don't eat sugar, do you?
I don't do carbs at all. I don't do bread, pasta, rice, sugar. No, I don't. And I don't have any inclination to either, so it's kind of wasted on me.
What do you do to treat yourself?
Dark chocolate.
And wine.
Obviously.
So Coffee Lab, one of the developments on the high street. Walking here, I saw that Poundlands has now reopened at M&Co. Your thoughts on the sign, Tracy? Because I know this was a big one to you.
You shouldn't have brought that up again, should you? I would have liked a quieter sign. Let's say a posher sign. But it's there now, and actually the rest of the high street manages to take the focus away from the bright blue Poundland sign. At the end of the day, anything's better than an empty shop, isn't it? So we should be grateful that we've got something in there, because it is a huge place to fill, and they filled it rather well, to be honest. I just hope that people will shop there, but not at the expense of the local independent traders.
Always very important, and that's one of your beefs, Tracy. We talked about it on the last podcast, which is people voting with their feet. The fact that, you know, Coffee Lab and Coffee Number One and Costa are busy is because people use them, so more coffee shops come, and it's really important that we support the independent traders, the like of which advertise in the magazine.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if I had a pound for every time somebody said to me, I wish Morgan and Wesley were still here. And it's people like that that we don't appreciate until they're gone. And then when they're gone, they're gone. And there are a few local traders in the high street that could be affected by the opening of Poundland. So, yeah, by all means, go and shop there. But let's not forget, you know, the people that make our community what it is, and the people that have been here for decades and decades, and do rely on us to keep them going.
Any other high street news, Fowler?
There is. We've got an exclusive in Enjoy Portishead, actually. Something that a lot of people will be sad to hear, that Antonio and Maria, his wife, in the Italian restaurant, are actually retiring this month. So that's a bit sad in a way. They've been here more than 30 years and have served the community well with their authentic Italian food. Now, it's not all doom and gloom. They are handing the keys over to their son, Vincenzo, and he will be opening in it as a takeaway. So I hope people will continue to support them, and I hope people will pop in this month to wish Antonio and Maria well in their retirement.
Always know that he opens at 5 o'clock and he's got fresh fish. Anybody that lives in Portishead, certainly in the Port Marine area, will know that. I mean, he's an icon. That hat, that smile, everybody knows him, don't they?
They absolutely do. I actually attended the opening night at Antonio's, and they had only been open half an hour when they had a power cut. And, well, the electrics went, and everyone was sitting there in darkness with a couple of candles. And we had an electrician at our table, and he popped up and ran in the kitchen and fixed things for us. And Antonio and Maria, when I mentioned it to them, could even remember which table we were sitting at 30 years ago.
Absolutely incredible. I remember during lockdown, actually, the pizzas from Antonio's. Did you ever have any of the pizzas from Antonio's? Oh, no, because you don't eat carbs. God, I can't talk to her about anything, can I? But they were huge. And once people had, you know, because it during lockdown, wasn't it? It was the buzz of, oh, who's doing what now? And oh, all of a sudden, Wenger are doing something. And then all of a sudden, and once Antonio started doing those takeaway pizzas, it was incredible. So big and so flavoursome. So, yeah, we'll be very much missed on the high street. But we look forward then to do we know anything more about the takeaway at this stage?
We know that it will be more than pizzas. It will be some of the favourite pasta dishes. And it will be open 6 days a week from 5 o'clock, I think. So, I think we might find in busy times, Antonio and Maria will actually be operating the telephones for their son.
Gone, maybe not quite so gone, but certainly not forgotten. Right, more Christmassy stuff. And Father Christmas is famous for paying a visit. He comes to switch on the Christmas lights with us, but occasionally, Tracy, we see him out and about on a trailer. But he's got a couple of modes of transport now, hasn't he?
Yes, he has. Portishead's lucky enough to have two carol floats. Santa travels around the streets on them and they collect money. I think one is organised by the Lions Club. And the Lions Club takes Santa on travels around the streets of Lower Portishead, if you like. And then the Fire Brigade takes Santa on travels round the roads Upper Portishead. They all play carols. Santa is waving from his sleigh and there are lots of people collecting money for both good causes.
And where can we find out about this? Because obviously he's a busy man, Father Christmas. He can't be everywhere at all times.
Absolutely. So to find out where the Lions float will be on which night, you can look on the Portishead Lions Club website. And I think the Portishead Fire Service have a Facebook page that you can find out more about the Santa float on there.
Tracy, are you a Santa or are you a Father Christmas person?
Oh, I'm a Santa. I'm a Santa. Yeah, and I have to say, they do an absolutely fabulous job. And all three of my children, you know, have jumped excitedly when they've heard the float coming and, you know, grabbed my purse and run out the door with it to go and put money in the bucket. So, it's a fabulous thing. It's part of the tradition of Christmas, I think.
I also note that Fowler has brought into the fray a division. Upper Portishead and Lower Portishead. And I feel as a Lower Portisheadian that I now have to doff my cap to you, an Upper Portisheadian. Where has this come from?
No, do you know, that was news to me as well.
But I did. How dare you not give me the opportunity to talk there? I read that from the press release that the Lions issued, actually. And I don't believe there is a divide. It's just somehow we had to explain. I couldn't sit and list all the roads, could I, that the Santa float went to, so that was the easiest way of doing it. We have a hill in Portishead, and some people live up the hill, some people live at the bottom of the hill.
That is a fair geographical, shall we say, description of...
And if you're lucky enough to live halfway up the hill, you might get two visits.
Going to say you'd be neither up nor down, but that's something else, isn't it?
All of a sudden I'm feeling Duke of York vibes. Right, what else is going on? The wonderful Portishead Lido, don't know, also celebrate the festive period. First of all, are you an outdoor swimmer, Tracy Fry?
I'm an outdoor swimmer, but not in the sea. I do love to visit the Lido. I have been a couple of times around Christmas. So I have done the Christmas swim, and it's absolutely brilliant.
I absolutely love swimming, and it's one of those exercises. It's so good for you because it, you know, exercises all parts of your body and you're weightless, so it doesn't matter whether you're big, small, in between. Love swimming. So they've got a couple of special swims coming up.
Yes, they have. The Lido does do cold water swimming in the winter, but as we get towards Christmas, I think you'll find they actually heat the pool then, so that they start with the popsicle at the beginning of December. And if you go to the website, it gives full details of all the swimming in December, and then I think they are doing Christmas Day swims and New Year's Day swims, so definitely worth checking out.
Now, one of the things that I remember when I first came to Portishead, not only was the Christmas light switch on the year that I moved, I think Carol Vorderman did it. Little did I know that in just a few mere years' time, I would be stood in the same space turning the lights on myself, and now as a proud host of it. But I also remember Victorian evening, and it's been an absolute moment in Portishead for many, many years. And you must have some fond memories of it, Tracy.
I've been involved a few times, actually, particularly when I was working at Heritage, the estate agents that used to be on the high street. And it's always been a fabulous evening. It's always been very traditional. And I think it depends on the generation that you're talking to as to what the memories are. But my memories are definitely lots of mulled wine. Here I go again. People dressed in Victorian costume, you know, children running around having fun, and lots of local storeholders, you know, selling homemade goods, that kind of thing. That's how I remember Victorian evening, yeah.
I always think with Victorian evening, with a Christmas light switch on, one of the things that I love doing, call me a child, I love walking down the middle of the road on the white lines, just going, I'm walking down the middle of the high street with no care. But it really feels like a community thing, but it's now, as everything does, developing and moving on.
Yes, it is. And over the years, it has changed from a typical Victorian market into a more standard market. And now we've moved it to an earlier time because then perhaps smaller children can make the most of the time. They've renamed it the Posset Market. It's on December the 10th this year, and it will run from 2 till 6 p.m. It will still be, the high street will be closed to traffic. There will be stalls lining the high street. The shops will be open. There will be lots of entertainment. There will be some fairground rides. There just won't be anyone dressed in Victorian costume, unless we're very lucky and people take it upon themselves to do that. One thing that is very, very important is to remember that this market, Victorian evening, whatever you want to call it, whatever it was, whatever it is today, is the biggest fundraising event for Portishead Christmas Lights. So it's the money made at this event that supports the lights, and it's really important that it continues.
I think that's a really good point. And as we previously mentioned, the opportunity to donate on the QR codes on the light poles all the way through, or the Portishead Lights website. Christmas is a lovely time, but it can also be a really stressful time, and it's a time when actually for some people it can be quite a lonely time, and getting through Christmas can be difficult. But the magazine this month has some advice for getting through the festive period, doesn't it?
It does. We have Trina Gazzard, who is a hypnotherapist, psychotherapist, and she is talking about reducing stress at Christmas time. Sometimes it's the expectations we put upon ourselves that cause it to be quite stressful for us. And Trina's got lots of tips in the magazine this month to make Christmas more enjoyable and less stressful.
What is the most stressful part of Christmas for you, Tracy Fry?
Christmas shopping. People have this idea that us girls love shopping, but actually it's not true. But I don't just have to Christmas shop for the people that I get gifts for. I have aunties and uncles and parents all phoning me and texting me saying, what can I get so-and-so this year? Got any ideas what so-and-so wants this year? So I have to think of presents for everybody.
Yeah, it is quite stressful. I think, you know, alluding to our earlier conversation, wouldn't it be wonderful if we all bought our Christmas presents from independent retailers on the high street this year?
That would be interesting. In fact, I think we should set that as a challenge. I've got a few friends who do make a Christmas present, and so they kind of craft and gift. I've got another friend who does a charity shop challenge, and the whole family has to go to charity shops and buy their presents, and that's quite good fun, because sadly we live in a world now where a lot of people, you know, if they want something and it's, you know, within a reasonable price, they just go out and get it. So there's no surprise left anymore. But maybe that's just because my children are older, and so I don't get the joy of buying plastic toys anymore.
Most stressful part of Christmas for you, Tracy Fowler?
The quiz.
The quiz. Tell us about the quiz.
I have taken to putting a quiz together, and that's my Christmas gift to a lot of my friends, is giving them a quiz that they then do with their family, and there's usually a bar of chocolate wrapped up for the winner.
That is such a good idea.
I got one last year.
Maybe I'll be on the list.
I felt so privileged. Christmas morning, Tracy didn't say anything about it. Christmas morning, I opened my presents from Tracy, and there it was, the Christmas quiz.
Well, I've not been honoured yet.
I can't take the credit for this, actually. My sister started it years ago when she stopped giving Christmas presents and started sending the family. And the funniest thing that year was that she got all the names wrong and sent the wrong quizzes to the wrong families. But then we all have a telephone conference call and find out who actually won amongst the family as well. So.
Oh my God, it's like the Eurovision Song Contest. They do the quiz, they have a phone link up afterwards to do the results. I'm sure there's a few wines involved as well. It sounds like quite the event. Oh, I'm very jealous. One of the things that that annoys me about Christmas, one of my stresses, is Christmas round robin letters / emails now, where people take it upon themselves to inflict us with the benefit of what they've done in the year, and I don't care, I'm going to say. I don't care what you and little Johnny have been up to, whether you've been up Scarfell Pike or you've bought a new car. For Christmas round robins, it's a waste of time. And people, the other thing that annoys me is people that go, oh, I'm not sending Christmas cards this year, I'm giving money to charity, I'm saving trees. No, you're not, you can't be bothered. And if you'd like some more of my Christmas tips, they are available in the December edition of the Enjoy Podicette magazine. When I said to you I was doing my top five Christmas tips, you had a fear and trepidation, didn't you?
I had some reservations. I thought, oh no, Downs's columnist for the December issue is going to be boring if that's what he's going to do. And then when I opened it up, I have to say, I laughed out loud. And I don't do that very often. Most people tell you it takes a lot to make me laugh. And Downs's Christmas tips were well worth a read. And yeah, they did amuse me. I love them.
Well, thank you very much. Right, we're going to break off from Coffee Lab here just for a few minutes for our interview for today. And I have to preface this by saying that our interviewee this month is a very, very good friend of mine. We've been friends for a very long time. Our careers came together in the radio industry about 20 years ago, and we've been friends ever since. So this was my catch up with Campbell Grant, who is the owner and operator of Venga, the Spanish tapas restaurant here on the high street. Cam, first of all, for anybody that's not been to Venga, can't believe they haven't been, ridiculous, but describe Venga to us.
So it's traditionally a Spanish tapas restaurant. It's also a vibrant cocktail bar. It's quite punchy in the evenings, so later at night, 10, 11, 12 o'clock, we've got a really good crowd in here and a really great atmosphere. So it's the sort of place you would feel as if you're on holiday at if you were in here on a Friday and a Saturday night.
There's quite a vibe, isn't there, and it attracts a certain crowd. Is it difficult to target the specific crowd that you're after?
No, actually, and bizarrely this morning I was just looking at our Facebook campaigns. We are right where we want to be. It's people that are 35 to 54 years old, and it's predominantly females. Those are the people that come in, that's who spends, that's who Facebook targets, and that's who's interacting with us. And that's exactly what we wanted. This is the place that large groups of mums, that kids are now in their teens, can come and have a few bottles of Prosecco and let their hair down.
It's important to stand out on the high street, isn't it? And there isn't anywhere else like Venga. But obviously, it's been a tough couple of years. Talk to us about how your Venga journey began and just how you survived through COVID in those last 3 or 4 years.
Well, it began because we were regular customers at Venga and we got to know Mike and Chris. And probably because I'd had too much wine, I said I'd really like to own something like this. One day, meaning one day, not now. But 6 months later, here we were. And then 6 months later, we were in lockdown. So yeah, things were very unstable at first. And we survived by coming out and appealing to the community and delivering food. So we were one of the first people to do food parcels to the door. We had a large garden, which we converted to a huge outdoor dining room. So when the rules relaxed and you could go out for something to eat and drink in a bar or restaurant, but only outdoors, we were one of the first people to offer that. And then every time there was a rule change or something's happened post-COVID, we've been a bit chameleon-like and we've tried to appeal to the customers and what they need right now.
One of the big kind of talking points about Venga has always been the secret garden and the sort of myth and mystery. I remember first hearing about Venga. I mean, you know, go back in history. Wasn't this Larson's Sandwich Shop? Is that what it was called before? I can't remember.
Larson's Caribbean Cafe. That was about 18. It was empty 18 months, and you're right, it was Larson's before that. And before that, an internet cafe. And I think if you go way back, it used to be a newsagent shop. So the secret garden, I don't know who created the name, but I certainly like it. It is a large Mediterranean-styled garden at the back of the building. In fact, it's 4 times the size of the restaurant. So when people do venture out there, it's a little bit of a hidden gem. And so many customers said it was nice, that it wasn't overrun with people and it wasn't spoilt, that it was Portishead's best-kept secret. So we decided to run with that. And they're absolutely right. It's a haven or an oasis of calm just off the high street.
It's not the sort of thing you expect to find, is it, in a busy sort of Victorian high street? And what can people use the garden for? Because certainly from personal experience, lots of people have private parties out there, don't they?
Yeah, we do. So we've had a few weddings, but it's mainly, you know, 40ths and 50th birthdays, sometimes christenings, sometimes baby showers. So any private parties are welcome. And certainly in the summer months, we're really busy. Right now it's Christmas parties, so there's quite a few of those going on. And when there aren't private parties, the garden's always open to the public, so you can come in and enjoy sunshine if it's the summer, or the coziness of the enclosed garden, because it is covered and it is heated, so you can go up there in the winter as well.
There is no doubt that Wenger has a completely different feel to anywhere else on the high street. What do you put that down to, and how do you continue to create that?
So first of all, we're not a pub. The high street is full of pubs, all owned by the same landlords and the same breweries. So we're a bar. We're an independent bar. We're very small. So when you come in and you sit at the bar or the restaurant, there's an instant atmosphere because the lights are low. It's quite seductive. The music's playing. I think we have a really good mix of characters behind the bar that make you feel welcome. And that's why we have a really loyal following of customers. So we're not a public house. We are, if we were to coin a phrase, we're a bit more of a private members club. That's what it feels like in here. Although, of course, anybody can come in at any time.
This is just one part of your story, Cam. Our history goes back to the glory days of radio stations, and everything moves on, as is my career. You also run other businesses as well. It's a fairly difficult time to be a business person. Portishead is a massive community. Do you feel a sort of responsibility to be part of that community spirit, even in these tough times?
Absolutely. We've just had the Christmas light switch on, and Wenger plays its part in making sure that the light switch on is a success. In terms of community efforts, we last year sponsored the skate park. But I think what we really do really well is we employ the 16, 17 and 18-year-old sons and daughters of our customers, and we give them a couple of years of education. You know, if you work 2 years in the hospitality industry whilst you're studying for your A-levels, you come out at 18, 19 with a lot of life skills or street skills that you wouldn't have had if you haven't done it. So whilst it can be quite tough, we have a really good family here at Wenger, and I think we give a lot back to the community by the employment that we offer.
There may be some product placement ahead, just a warning. Hey, Cam, what festive plans do you have for Wenger over Christmas and the New Year?
So Christmas is pretty much wrapped up. This weekend is the start of the Christmas parties. There's a few dates left. If you haven't booked your work's Christmas party, then you still can. But really what we're looking at now is a good old-fashioned knees up on Christmas Eve. And we're opening at 1 o'clock. It is a Sunday this year. We won't do Sunday roast on Christmas Eve because we all want to come out the front in our silly jumpers and have a drink with our customers. And in the previous years, it's not scripted. It's completely ad hoc. It's quite good fun. So get yourselves a table for that. There's no charge. It's free. You can watch me perform like an idiot at absolutely no cost. But the big event's New Year's Eve. So we only do it every 2 years because we really throw ourselves into it. This year, it is Great Gatsby themed, or Bugsy Malone, as I like to think of it. It's a nice, sophisticated opportunity to dress up, come out. We've got great food. We've got great entertainment. I think you're performing that night, Mr. Downs. But we also have a fantastic illusionist, and the banquet is superb. So it's a lavish evening, and we still have some tickets available. If you haven't got plans for New Year's Eve, I strongly recommend you talk to a customer who's been here before, because they'll tell you it's not to be missed.
If you want to book a table, how do we do that these days?
Our best way to do that is on the website, to be honest. So even if just type in Wenger, but Wenger Portishead, and there is a booking widget on our website, or just give us a call.
Excellent. The festive season, of course, you know, drums up all sorts of ideas. I'm going to ask you momentarily what your perfect Christmas roast dinner tip is. So have a little think about that. But first of all, what are your hopes and aspirations for Wenger moving forward? The last few years, as you've already alluded to, have been quite the journey. Where would you like to go in the next couple of years?
So this might sound negative, but I don't mean it to be. We would actually quite like to make a profit. So since we bought the business, Wenger has never turned a profit because of the complications in the world that we faced, the pandemic, the energy crisis, the cost of living crisis. But I think by the time we get halfway through 2024, we'll be in really good shape. And I think that will put Wenger here on the high street for many, many years to come.
We certainly hope so. Right, so for those of us that are listening that have been to Wenger that know that your roast is absolutely legendary, and I can pay testament to that too, have you got any tips for anybody that might be creating a roast dinner anytime soon?
Well, preparation is everything. The Wenger roast takes 24 hours. So we start way in advance. And to be honest, when I cook a Christmas roast, I'm doing exactly that. So preparation, plan everything out. Take your time, don't rush, can't rush a roast. But the reality is, drink a lot of wine. Because the more wine you drink, the better your roast tastes.
Fantastic. Cam, thanks for your time today.
Thanks, Danzy. See you soon. Bye-bye.
Excellent.
Preparation, preparation, preparation. That's what it's all about. Let's round up the podcast this month by talking about a few of the other things, Tracy Fry, that you've been working on and you've been involved with the magazine for this month.
We were just talking about roast potatoes, and it reminded me that Posset Bite is a little bit different this month because the Great British Bake Off are looking for contestants for next year's season, and I believe they're looking locally. So if you are a budding baker, there is something in the magazine that you might want to see. The other thing I've been up to is I started to get my pensions sorted out, which is probably, it sounds boring, but actually it's been quite exciting. I've reached that age now where I've been ignoring them for years and years. There's a bit of paper in one drawer and another piece in another folder, and I found out that actually there are millions and millions of pounds sat in pots that, you know, people don't know about. So I actually took some advice from the magazine, and I contacted our pension guy, and had a lovely cup of coffee, and he is sorting me out. So have a little read in the magazine about that, and if you are of a certain age, it's certainly worth doing.
Any more from you, Fowler, before we close today?
Well, I think people need to pick up the magazine to have a look and see what we've got. But we have got the full details of the Portishead Church's Christmas services. We've got a travel feature on Lapland for people. Might be a bit late this year, but thinking about doing that trip next year. We've also got local guy who has launched an online marketplace, kind of same kind of thing as Etsy, and maybe, you know, Vinted maybe, but much, much cheaper to the seller. So a great platform for people that are buying and selling their own things this year. Yeah, we've also got a bit about the dangers of Christmas that can be presented for pets. So be careful with things that your pets might get hold of. And just one last thing, Holly Hedge, the animal sanctuary close by, is running a shoebox appeal for cats and dogs. So if anyone would like to take advantage of that, they could put some dog treats, cat treats in a box and take them to Walnut Grove before the 20th of December. And cats and dogs that wouldn't have a present at Christmas normally would, if you'd be kindly like to donate.
Oh, that warms my heart, that does.
That's proper Christmas, that is.
Sort of wraps it up full circle, because here we are in Coffee Lab. Oh, she's a writer for a reason, Tracy Fowler, isn't she? Thank you very much for listening. I'm very pleased to announce that we've now had 1,000 downloads of this podcast. So thank you very much to you, the dear listener, for taking the time to listen. We will be back in January, and there is perhaps something else exciting happening in January with the podcast that we'll be able to perhaps reveal a little bit later on down the line. So we'll talk more about that then. Whatever you're doing this Christmas, be safe. Be kind, have lots of festive cheer, don't have any sugar if you're in Tracy Fry's house, but plenty of wine. Pick up the magazine, and we'll see you again in January. But from Tracy and I here in Coffee Lab, it's a very Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.